We blew past 4,000, we blew past 5,000, peaked at 5,600. So a 20% correction is healthy. It was interesting. So last week was VREC, Vancouver Resource Investment Conference here in Vancouver. So lots of folks here. It was the busiest I've ever seen it. And yet there was definitely a group of people saying, "Hey, guys, it's gone up too much, too fast. I think you'll continue to see a de-dollarization. That helps pay back debt easier and all the rest of it." So, yeah, I don't think anything fundamentally changed. A healthy correction gets honed down to a specific day.
Sounds
So
very systematic.
it's very systematic, it's very transparent. I love that about the dashboard, and there's accountability for us to get the information to the relevant permitting agency or agency has to issue a permit, and a coordination effort.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, Contango ORE. Good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Andy, good to see you again.
It's always really good to see you. Just full disclosure to all my viewers and listeners, I am an investor in Contango ORE. I've been an active investor. It's been almost, I want to say, 18 months now, Rick. Contango ORE is also a sponsor of NaturalResourceStocks.net. This is not investment advice. Do your own due diligence. Let's start real quick here, Rick, about the gold market here. Had this huge run up, and then we got a correction right now. Just give me your two cents on that. What's going on?
Yeah, I think we had as you say, a huge run up. We blew past 4,000, we blew past 5,000, peaked at 5,600. So a 20% correction is healthy. It was interesting. So last week was VREC, Vancouver Resource Investment Conference here in Vancouver. So lots of folks here. It was the busiest I've ever seen it. And yet there was definitely a group of people saying, "Hey, guys, it's gone up too much, too fast. It's going to correct." And so you had folks like Rick Rule, for example, saying, "Hey, take some money off the table. Gold's going to correct." And we were kind of saying the same thing. And obviously, I have a sort of a selfish reason for wanting to see gold correct, because we'd love to unwind our hedges. And so a $1,000 decrease in the gold price is helpful from that perspective. And so we're working on that. But obviously, when the gold price corrects, so do the equities. So on Friday, I think it was Friday, gold was down 11%. We were down 11%, and gold's down today, and we're down not quite as hard as gold. So we might start seeing, when gold settles down. Obviously, it's volatile, and as I said, that 20% correction in gold and silver. I think silver needed to correct even more so, because it had gone up even more dramatically. So it's come crashing down more dramatically, which is very typical of silver. So I think these are healthy markets for an overall bull market. I'm still very bullish on the overall macro picture for gold. I think there are probably a few scenarios out there where the Chinese stop buying gold, but I think those are very low probability, and I think you'll continue to see a de-dollarization. That helps pay back debt easier and all the rest of it. So yeah, I don't think anything fundamentally changed. A healthy correction.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with you. I actually was one of the sellers here. I started selling, and again, to all my viewers and listeners, and to you, Rick, I have a ton of gold. I have a lot of gold stocks, so I'm not by any means bearish. But I was just thinking, really, last fall when the run-up started, I was like, I just got to take some money off the table, and I discipline continued doing that throughout the until the new year. And now I'm looking to strategically buy, redeploy the funds just from the money taken off the table. So yeah, couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about the merger. Where, so people that don't know, get us up to speed with that, where all of that is. I did, to all my viewers and listeners, and to you, I talked to Rick Rule about that. He was very, very What's the right word? He was very pleasantly, he was very supportive. That's the right word of that. And so was I, as I worked through that and thought about it. But yeah, where are we at with the merger with you and Dolly? Is that a full done deal now, with everything?
Yeah, so it's not a full done deal. We get voters have to, the shareholders have to vote. So that the proxy went out or goes out this week. It was approved last week by SEC. So it'll go out to shareholders. The vote is set for March the 17th. And it's, it's all online now. And then about a week later, the transaction should close. Dolly, being a British Columbia company, needs to get court approval. But that's a pretty much a done deal. It's just a bit of an extra process that you have to go through in Canada. So yeah, deal finalizes in by the end of March. We've talked to a lot of the shareholders, overwhelmingly supportive. As you know, we've got lockup agreements with I think 22% of the shares on both sides. And then another roughly a total of 35% who have verbally said no, they support the well, these I'm talking about the larger shareholders, that they support the transaction. So the folks like Eric Sprott support the transaction, with shareholder, supporting agreement with the with Sprott and with a few of the other big shareholders, both on both sides, our side, their side. So yeah, I don't really see anything, obviously, all the shareholders have to vote, but I don't really see anything getting in the way of this. We have our vote threshold is 51%, and Dolly Varden's is the two-thirds majority. So, and that's of shareholders who come to vote their shares or come to the meeting to vote their shares. So yeah, by the end of March, we should be trading under the new name, Contango Silver and Gold. The trading symbol won't change. It's CTGO, so Contango is the surviving entity, and the Dolly Varden Canadian listing, which is currently in the TSXV, will be upgraded to the TSX, and I believe we have the CTGO symbol, ticker symbol, reserved, so it'll be the same on both exchanges.
Okay, great. So, talk to me a little bit more. Let's get into really the weeds, with the company, because you're still drilling, you're still developing, the assets that you have. Talk to me about what's going on with all of that.
Yeah, so obviously Manh Choh is, producing gold, and according to effectively to the feasibility study mine plan, and this is always planned to be a lower production year on average. The average is still in the 60,000 ounces. This will be a little lower, and then next year will be correspondingly higher. So that's kind of doing well, and there's always operational things going on, but none of them are significantly affecting the planned delivery of resource ounces. We'll have our year-end financials done in March, and along with that, we'll have our own sustaining costs and things like that. So we're trying to get more on a regular reporting, quarterly reporting type arrangement, rather than trying to do it a bit more piecemeal. So I guess we're becoming a real company. It's just kind of like Pinocchio becoming a real boy. So, and then, yeah, so there's lots of other activities going on. So we can start with Lucky Shot. Lucky Shot, we're drilling. We have an 18,000 meter drill program. It was 15 originally, and now we've bumped it up to 18. I think we'll probably have a press release out on drill results. We're starting to get those in now. I'm very happy with the drilling. So we'll, in the next couple of weeks, I'm sure we'll get a press release out. We just want to kind of put them out in bunches, not, sort of piecemeal. And I think we're getting pretty close to about half the program being completed. Then that's phase one. That phase one is the current west drift that we're drilling there. So that's going on well. I think we've got our avalanche management program. Obviously, this is the time of year we get a lot of snow accumulation. So we just have sort of an active program there, and that just keeps the avalanches sort of coming down, and small avalanches coming down in a controlled fashion rather than letting the snow build up and having a larger avalanche. So that's all going, according to plan, and The plan there is to basically drill all year long this year. It's roughly a $25 million drilling program, along with the development work to create the access to do the drilling underground. It's all underground drilling. This summer, we will have probably 3,000 to 5,000 meters from the surface, surface drilling. That's, basically from the top of the mountain, helicopter supported. That'll probably start in July sometime, July, August, and into September. And then next year, we would plan to use all that information to do a feasibility study. And I refer to the feasibility study as a feasibility light, because it is basically just a mine plan and a transportation plan, and obviously working on an agreement with where the milling operation, where the milling would take place, and their gold would be recovered. We'll keep Fort Knox in mind, but we've got a couple of other ideas and concepts that we're working with as well. So that's more of a 2027 decision. So this, and the objective this year is to outline a quarter, sorry, 400,000 to 500,000 ounces of gold resource, and then to subset that into a 250,000 ounce reserve that can produce roughly 50,000 ounces of gold a year for a 5-year plan. Then obviously, as an underground mine, having a 5-year mine plan for an underground mine is kind of typical. And then you just every year you add another, replace another year of reserve losses, right? And so you keep that 5-year plan going for a while. As an example, the Kensington mine has been going for about 25 years with a 3 to 5 year mine plan.
Well, where are the Dolly Varden assets in this merger? Where does that come in as far as the overall plan? Is that going to be working simultaneously? I mean, I'm assuming you'll be working through that simultaneously as you're doing this, correct?
Correct. So the Johnson Tract project, which is a gold-rich polymetallic deposit, so it's gold is the primary metal, then you have silver, zinc, lead, and copper. The Dolly Varden assets, and they vary, but the Torbrit and the Dolly Varden and the Wolf Vein, which are sort of at the southern end of that little belt there along the Kitsault Valley, and are road accessible, they're silver rich polymetallic. So it's silver is the dominant metal, and then it makes up, like, I don't know, 85% of the value, along with a little bit of gold. And then you have lead and zinc and a little bit of copper. So those, they're both polymetallic, Johnson Tract and Dolly Varden assets. So they can be processed at the same mill. So while we're advancing those projects, we'll be looking for a mill to be able to process those ores. And we're under CA, so I can't say a whole lot more than that. We're looking at two different milling operations that would fit those types of ores. And then meanwhile, of course, you have the Homestake asset at Dolly Varden that is gold rich. It's looking like about 7 grams of gold. Obviously, there's got to do a resource update on that, because there's been a substantial amount of drilling done since they acquired it back in, what was that, 2022 or so, 2021 or 22. They've done about 200,000 meters of drilling on the entire property. So that the mineral resource will be updated probably sometime in May, June timeframe is what I'm guessing. They're still getting assays in from last year's program. So I think a 54,000 meter drill program. This year we'll get the MRE done, and that'll obviously guide where we do the next round of drilling. But this later this year in the summertime, we'll do another roughly 50,000 meters of drilling at Kitsault. So, and the idea there is to start developing one or more of the deposits, getting them ready for a feasibility level study like we're doing at Lucky Shot. But it's probably 1 to 2 years away. And while we're doing that, of course, we're advancing Johnson Tract through the permitting process. And so I see in 2 years, I see Lucky Shot in production, adding another 50,000 ounces of gold production a year to our current 60. So we get up into the roughly 100,000 ounce of production level. And then 2 years later, 2 to 3 years later, Johnson Tract and Kitsault getting into production. So 5-year plan, produce 200,000 ounces of gold and in the neighborhood of 5-6 million ounces of silver. So
I'm shaking my
that's
head.
a
Wow, that's a lot.
it's a lot to do. There's a lot, but it's very sequential.
Yeah.
We're not trying to do everything at once. Johnson's permitting. We're on the Fast 41 dashboard. In fact, we had our first they put it on the dashboard on Friday. So there's a whole bit of a process you go through to get all the agencies aligned on timing. All of the permits we need are on the dashboard. So you can go over to the dashboard today and take a look at it and see all the things that we have to do, all the reporting and investigations we have to do. And if there's a date, and the first date is today. We're submitting our first report on for the planned program at Johnson Tract, one aspect of the planned program at Johnson Tract. And then there's another one due, I believe it's at the end of the week on Friday. So that's on cultural studies. And so I love it because it puts everybody under the gun, say, okay, we have to do this report. So we're under the gun to do that. But then the agencies get the report and then they have to review it and give you comments back by a certain period of time. And then it doesn't go on endlessly. So it's the way the whole process works is all the agencies agree on the end date. So we're on the dashboard. You go on the dashboard right now. And right now I think it's a quarter, second quarter of 2028, we'll have our permits. As we go through the process, that quarter date will get honed down to a day. So, whether it's April 28th or whatever it is, it gets honed down to a day as we understand the process more. It gets honed down to a specific day.
Sounds
So
very systematic.
it's very systematic. It's very transparent. I love that about the dashboard. And there's accountability for us to get the information to the relevant permitting agency or any agency that's issue a permit, and a coordination effort by the permitting council, which is sort of the owner of the dashboard, if you will, and they're just there to remind everybody that there's a report coming or there's a report that review that's due by the agency. So and they're there to help if the agency needs additional help, meeting their timeline. So it's a good system. So far we're very impressed with the people we have working with us on it from the permitting council, and then our lead agency is the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, and Carolyn there is doing an awesome job, just kind of keeping things moving along. So we're pleased with the way this has started. So keep on track, and everybody does what they're supposed to do. We should have our permits by the middle of 2028. So.
Yeah, well, that's fantastic. And one of the things when I first met you, and this reminds me some of that, this was a couple of years ago at Rules Conference, is just how systematic you were and just how process oriented you were. And it's just like, hey, this, and that's exactly what happened with Contango ORE. And now it was just the model that this. I would say the simplicity, it's not simple, but it's just not complicated. I would say just do everything in step. And that's what I really appreciated about with your original model when we first spoke. So fantastic. Also comment, man, that's a lot. You must be hiring. It's because, man, whoa, you got a lot going on.
Yeah, we have a lot going on. We have a bunch of new people working for us at Lucky Shot specifically. The Johnson Tract, we're hiring two new people there to manage the site basically. We have one person, or actually we have two people, but we need their seconds. We need two people to sort of help them out so they can take some time off too. We don't want to burn people out. So
Yeah. If you're looking for a
yeah, we're
job,
looking for
email
a
Rick.
couple positions there. And then of course at Kitsault, with a 50,000 meter drill program planned for starting probably in June sometime. It'll be busy there, but that team's pretty well intact, so I think we're in good shape there.
And a lot of news coming, really, which I'm not surprised about, but a lot of news coming, really flowing through of this. So investors just really need to be aware, huh?
Yeah, I just kind of walk through them real quick. I mean, we'll have a drill hole press release on Lucky Shot in the next few weeks. Then that probably the next thing is reporting on our year-end, and then the Dolly Varden vote will take place, or both votes will take place. And then we'll have probably some intermittent updates on Johnson Tract as it moves through the permitting process. I know that permitting is a bit of the boring part of the Lassonde curve, so probably won't make big deal about it, but it's just demonstrating. And of course the dashboard has it all on there anyway, so but it's nice to celebrate advances and chewing through those milestones as we move the project along. So we will start constructing the road this summer between the camp and the proposed portal site. We do expect to get our state permits for building the portal in the first half of this year. I think probably March, April timeframe, something like that, which will allow us then to start planning the not just drilling the building the road, but also getting the laydown area. And the other thing we want to accomplish at Johnson Tract is to get the camp winterized. So those are all the objectives we're working towards at Johnson Tract. Yeah, a lot of activity. Next year, we hope to be building the tunnel and then followed by getting the drilling done underground at Johnson as well. So, which I'm always excited because we know we'd love to find the bottom of the ore body, and because we've only been able to drill the top of it from the mountainside there, and it's open, wide open at depth. So, we're very much looking forward to getting the drills exploring again at Johnson Tract, as well as the infill drilling.
Yeah, excellent. Well, Rick, if people want to do more due diligence about you, how do they find you? And if they want to buy you, what exchanges are you tr exchange? Are you traded on? And what's your ticker symbols?
Yeah, so right now it's Contango ORE, CTGO, listed in New York, NYSE American. Or you can go to our website to find more information, contangoore.com. You're welcome to send a we have an info at Contango. If you have got a question, welcome to send an email there. There's also a phone number if you want to call and leave a message. One of us will get back to you. If it's something for me, question for me, I'll get back to you. If it's a question for Mike, he'll get back to you, our CFO. Yeah, so after the vote, the name changed to Contango Silver and Gold, but same trading symbols, and you'll be able to trade us in Canada as well on the TSX with the same symbol. So, but that'll be more of an April timeframe. So
Well, we'll have you on before then, but yes, I'll put all of this, or have Colby, my producer, put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. Rick, it's always great to see you, and I'd love to have you on really sooner than later, 2 to 4 weeks, and we'll just talk about the progression.
yeah, maybe we can talk about those drill results at Lucky Shot when we put them out.
I would love that. All right, thank you so much, Rick. We'll see you soon.
Andy, always a pleasure. Thanks.
Take care.